But we're pleased to be joined right now by Professor Brenda Child. Professor Child is the chair of the American Indian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota and is involved with the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, which has just been released and is online. Professor Child, thanks so much for joining us on this Friday evening at the Roadhouse.
I'm happy to be with you.
Nice to have you here. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, I was on the website. In fact, I'm on the website right now as we speak. And not only is it a beautiful website, but very, very interesting as well. So congratulations on that. I guess what I wanted to lead off with is how did this online dictionary, Ojibwe Online Dictionary, People's Dictionary, come to be?
Well, it started with a conversation, really, with a few colleagues here in the Department of American Indian Studies. John Nichols, who is a linguist and one of the leading experts on the Ojibwe language, and I were over at the Minnesota Historical Society one day speaking with a curator, and John was talking about his desire when he gets involved in writing the new edition of the Concise Dictionary of Minnesota Ojibwe, his earlier book that he wanted to build on. He thought that it should be a website and perhaps even a talking dictionary, since the technology allows that. And because we were over at the Historical Society, we started thinking about how great it would be if the collections of the Historical Society could be some of the illustrations in the new dictionary. And that's what really got us started. And so if you think of, we all know what a paper dictionary is like, and we think of the little line drawings and so forth. Imagine that, you know, the rich collections of the Historical Society, beadwork and bandolier bags and baskets and so forth, these wonderful cultural objects of Ojibwe people could actually be the illustrations.
And they are, and really are beautiful too. A lot of the photographs, the historical works, really I think really add to it.
Right.
So now, one of the unique things as well is that, as opposed to, as you say, a book dictionary that we're all used to, with this there are actually native speakers on it. So
that's
if you're
right.
Looking up words, you can also hear people speaking. Where did the speakers come from, Professor Tao? How did you get in touch with them?
Oh, the speakers are the colleagues, the collaborators who've been working with John Nichols for a while now. He had been for many years doing recordings with Ojibwe elders as part of an earlier research grant he had, and so John has been actually doing this work here in the Great Lakes for many years. He has an earlier work, a book he published a number of years ago, which was with a collaboration with Maud Keg, an Ojibwe elder at Mille Lacs. So he's been talking and working with Ojibwe elders for quite a long time. So the folks that got involved in the project with us were people that John has been working with for quite a few years. And so the folks are primarily from Ojibwe communities here in Minnesota. Eugene Stilday is up from Red Lake Reservation. Mm-hmm. A couple of the other ladies are from the Leech Lake Reservation. Larry Smallwood, who's one of the collaborators, is from Mille Lacs. There's another woman who works with John, who Rose Tainter, who lives over on the Lakota Ray Reservation in Wisconsin, even though she's originally from northern Minnesota. So there are quite a few folks involved in the project, including folks that we're going to kind of add to the pages of the website in the coming weeks, who are from southern Canadian border communities. So we're not working with one community. The idea is that we're going to reflect the various dialects of the Ojibwe language here in the Western Great Lakes.
Well, that was one thing that I found very interesting, is that I read that there are approximately 200,000 Ojibwe people who reside in the
right.
United States and Canada.
Right.
And that there are a variety, which one would expect, certainly have that in any language, I think, various dialects.
Right.
I suppose, within the United States, if you take the people that live in the South and East and West refer to them perhaps as accents, but a number of dialects, local varieties. How difficult is it then to do a dictionary like this, particularly where there, the spoken word is there that represents the language?
Right. Well, like I said, we didn't, the beauty of the talking dictionary and working with people of various Ojibwe communities is that the scholars who are involved, someone like John Nichols, doesn't have to come on and say, this is how you say the Ojibwe word for wild rice, Manom. Mm-hmm. He can say, this is how Eugene Stilday from Panema says this.
Or I see, sure.
Expresses this idea.
Sure.
And so it really shows the diversity and the beauty of the Ojibwe language, which is sort of illustrated by the various landscapes of Ojibwe country, the places that people come from. And I think that adds a richness to the Ojibwe people's dictionary.
Indeed.
The talking dictionary.
And I would assume also that one of the most, one of the great features about an online dictionary like this is that, in fact, it's pretty, I'm not going to say easy, but you're able to make changes, additions, what have you, as you go, which when you publish a book, you got to wait for the next edition to do it, and that can get a little cumbersome.
Well, absolutely, because if you think of a book, and I have here right in front of me John Nichols and Earl Nyholm's A Concise Dictionary of Minnesota Ojibwe, published in 1995, when you publish a paper book, that's it, as you say, until the next edition. But with the website, actually, we consider the dictionary website up now somewhat of a preview because it is so incomplete at this point. But we can work on it tomorrow. We can work on it later tonight. We can continuously update it. And I think what John tells me, and again, I'm a historian, so I'm not language expert in the same way that my colleague John Nichols is. But what John tells me is that the earlier published book, published here by the University of Minnesota Press, which is considered the authoritative source on the Ojibwe language in terms of a published dictionary, widely used in the Great Lakes, even into Canada, is that book has approximately 7,000 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing with the website is collecting and developing a larger database that is going to have 30,000 entries.
Wow.
And so it's much expanded. And so with these 30,000 entries, they're in the process of uploading, I think they say, about 60,000 audio clips to go with it. So you'll have individual words, but sentence examples, then you'll be able to really hear people speaking the Ojibwe language with this new website.
We're visiting with Professor Brenda Child, who is the chair of the American Indian Studies Department at the U, and also has been involved with the online Ojibwe People's Dictionary. Who would you say is your target audience? I realize that that's somewhat inappropriate talking about the dictionary, but who do you feel is your target audience for this?
We feel that our target audience, I guess I would say we look at ourselves as having audiences, because I think the dictionary will be different things to different people.
Sure.
First and foremost in our minds is the preservation of the Ojibwe language. And so it is dedicated to the 200,000 Ojibwe people who live on either side of that border that you're a little bit closer to I am today in Minneapolis. And so half of the population lives in Canada, about half of it lives in the U.S. And for a lot of communities, or if you think of people of my generation, for example, I'm originally from the Red Lake Reservation in northern Minnesota. My mother's generation, her siblings, they all spoke Ojibwe as their first language. It's my generation where the sort of problem comes in, where we're not using the language in the same way that my mother's generation or my grandparents did. So we worry about the decline of the Ojibwe language these days. So it's dedicated to Ojibwe people. It's dedicated to Ojibwe language learners of all kinds. We see many of those on a daily basis here at the University of Minnesota because we offer 3 years of Ojibwe language study, as well as Dakota, which is a different language, but a heritage language of Minnesota also. And so students here at the University of Minnesota are able to progress through 3 years of Ojibwe and then take upper-level language linguistic classes with Professor Nichols if they'd like to during their fourth year of college. And so we at the university tend to think about the students that we see all the time. We think about our colleagues out there who are working in K-12 education. And then we think about folks who are living in Grand Portage or living in Red Lake or living, you know, in Minneapolis or St. Paul or Duluth. And they have a desire to know more and to hear the language spoken. And so we hope that the dictionary will be useful to all those people.
You know, and I know in visiting with a lot of my friends in Grand Portage that one of the concerns, as you have mentioned, is the loss of the language from the standpoint that younger people aren't learning it, and the people that spoke it as their first language have, and many of them have passed away, so that they don't have as many people to pass the language on, and that, and particularly for Native peoples, how important part of their culture, well, first of all, how important culture is to them, but how important part of the culture that language is, and of course, for so many reasons, not the least of which was the efforts of the dominant settler culture to take Native language away. I would think that this would just be really an asset, particularly, as you said, you got to, for the people that are going to the U and taking classes, that's one thing, but for the people that are, for still, you know, Red Lake, White Earth, Grand Portage, trying to get young people to learn the language, I would think this would be a wonderful asset.
I hope it is. I think it will be. But I also think of the kind of casual users of the dictionary as well, because I know in the department we'll get calls sometimes from the public asking about place names in Minnesota or in the Great Lakes. And I think there's a lot of curiosity about the Ojibwe language, as well as the Dakota language, because it is so reflected in the landscapes and the places of Minnesota. And so I think there will be people who kind of just, you know, want to satisfy their curiosity about different topics that will probably also be users of the dictionary.
You know, Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was also going to say we also kind of formed a partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society through the dictionary as well, because of the cultural galleries that you see if you look at the website. And so I also think that, you know, a potential user of the dictionary will be museum professionals who perhaps folks at the Smithsonian or people even in museums in Europe that have Algonquian or Ojibwe collections that want to know more about the cultural context of the collections. They may have students, scholars. So I think there will be a wide array of users.
You know, I think that there's probably, and you probably already thought of this too, but also an even wider range than that. I know over in the community of Bemidji, a number of people have been working over a couple of years in businesses to have Ojibwe, the Ojibwe translation for words that they normally have in English. And it started out with something very simple like men and women on the restroom doors, but now has expanded.
Right.
And now currently the high school is doing the same thing. A group of students are working to accomplish the same thing. And I would think people who either are citizens of those communities, but even more so visitors who see this, I would think could be prompted then to take advantage of the dictionary as well.
Yes, maybe that will be the case. And I've heard about and have seen, you know, in Bemidji, the bilingual signs and the restaurants. And I love going in the co-op in Bemidji because all the bins are labeled, have Ojibwe labels as well. So I think that will be something that users, or maybe people's interest will be piqued by things like that and turn to the dictionary. But also, I was mentioning our students here at the University of Minnesota, but since you bring up Bemidji, Ojibwe language is also taught at Bemidji State University. It's taught up at UMD on the Duluth campus. It's taught over in Morris. It's taught in tribal colleges throughout the Great Lakes and a lot of high school and elementary programs as well. So I think there's a lot of educators that will probably be tuning in to the Ojibwe People's Dictionary.
I'm sure that's true. You know, one thing I failed to ask you, and I should have done this right at the start, but can you give us what the website is?
Yes, I certainly am happy to do that. It's I'll say it first and then spell it out. It's ojibwe.lib.umn.edu. So that would be spelled ojibwe.lib.umn.edu. And that address reflects that the project is going to be permanently housed, the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, in the Department of American Indian Studies, and it's going to be maintained by the university libraries here at the University of Minnesota. So it represents another kind of collaboration from here, even within the university, because it is a we're not computer programmers over mm-hmm. here in the Department mm-hmm. of American Indian Studies, and so we collaborated with the university library who know how to build a website. So that has been really important to us. And so the library at the University of Minnesota is also very invested in this project.
And obviously it did a great job. Now, you know, I'm not certainly not comparing this to a Wikipedia, but is there an opportunity for people, perhaps people who do speak the Ojibwe language, to participate in this, in the dictionary in any way?
We're really hoping that people get involved in participating in the dictionary. And we, so the way we imagine it, if you're, when you look at the dictionary, there's a section that says about the project, mm-hmm. and it says how to get involved. And there is an area where you can fill out a form and talk back to us, and we will respond. And we may not do it in 2 hours or 24 hours, but we'll get back to people in a reasonable length of time, because there are, I think, people out there who may have material. Maybe someone has historic photographs in their family sure. that they would like to share with users of the dictionary. Maybe someone has language materials. Perhaps Ojibwe families, someone up in Grand Portage has recordings of their grandparents or great-grandparents speaking Ojibwe, and we can help the public because we have access to technology to help you preserve or help you digitize those sorts of materials. And so we are in a phase of the dictionary. The first part is just getting it up, and this year we'll be working on kind of responding to users and to the public about how the dictionary is working for them, and also getting folks, the public, involved in the project through their own knowledge or access to materials for language learning or language preservation. Down the road, we feel like if there are any wealthy donors out there listening right now, we look down the road, because phase three of the project, we've mentioned that we do, that the website as it currently exists is somewhat geared toward adult learners and folks who are studying Ojibwe language, perhaps college students, that those are the groups we initially thought of. But we also want to, in the future, reach out to younger children, and so we want to develop a part of the website that is a children's dictionary. That's something that we have in mind, thinking of younger users and what their needs will be as we go down the road.
Sure.
But that's phase three.
That sounds great. We have been visiting with Professor Brenda Child. She, as I mentioned, is chair of the American Indian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota and is involved with the online Ojibwe Dictionary. And once again, that website is ojibwe.lib.umn.edu. Professor Child, I want to thank you so much for taking time on a Friday evening to be with us. And it's not only is it obviously very valuable, but a beautiful dictionary as well. And again, thanks so much for being here. Miigwech.
Miigwech.